You're listening to Perpetual Traffic.
Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wouters and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT. Hello and welcome to the Perpetual Traffic Podcast. This is Ralph Burns. I'm the founder of Tier 11, and this is Ryan Hodges. He is the COO of Tier 11. The reason why Ryan is on this week's show is because we're actually here at a mastermind that Kasim and I are members of called the Driven Mastermind, which I think is a great mastermind. And we're actually skipping a session right now in Driven where it's called Wicked Smart, where it's like all these great ideas for super smart people. But the business owners in this mastermind are going to take that and go back and implement it. And they're going to, everything's a red line. Whereas you can only get so big, you can only have so much influence, you can only build a company to scale so much by just doing it that way, unless you actually start to do, you know, the journey, the culture, and then ultimately the results. You know, it all starts with that vision.
Well, I think it's funny you say that. You know, we came out of that joint venture discussion today.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people at lunch were instantly like, oh, let's work together and just go straight to it, come up with this idea and go. Whereas we had a conversation with a gentleman and the immediate next step was, all right, I'm going to connect you with an assistant that's going to set you up with our leadership team so you can pitch our leadership team so that they can understand your product so then we can figure out how to inculcate it. We'll use the word again.
Yeah.
Into our
process.
It's
like four times right now. Josh is really beaming.
Little counter at the bottom of the screen here. But instead of just going straight to like, oh, we can put you on this account tomorrow and, you know, oh, that's a great service. I got these six customers and just, you know, wheeling and dealing. That's the ready, fire, aim.
Yeah.
Whereas we said,
I'm getting shit done, man.
Yeah.
Look at how quick action I took, you know?
And it might take a month for us to get through this process to align, you know, his company with our company to see if it's a viable partnership. Mm-hmm. But the first customer that we put on will be a success as opposed to a complete disaster. And I think we're going through the process is important. There's perceived value and actual value. And that ready, fire, aim, there's a very high perceived value. But if you fast forward a few months, maybe it's weeks, you'll find that that idea didn't really pan out, did it?
Mm.
Well, that's an actual low value. How much time and energy did you waste in that perceived value, whereas actual high, low value? Whereas the other side of it, like in our case for this conversation earlier today, is yes, it may take a month before we may introduce them to a new customer, but we're going to know that they're bought into our vision. We know how they can service our customer, and our first one will be a success. We may have 10 or 20 customers on this service if it's a good value add within, you know, say 3 months. Whereas the other approach, we'd have put it in front of three customers, it would have been a nightmare and we severed the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's counterintuitive. You know, heck, I got a phone call from a visionary. It's a customer of ours just 2 weeks ago. And he's like, hey, I want to do this new thing with you guys.
you know, first off, it's this thing, and then this other thing. When can we start it? So I'm like, classic visionary mistake. I love this guy. Like, he's been a longtime friend. And I'm like, we have a process for this. And a year or so ago, probably before we had met, I would have been like, I just would have gone to our operations. People are like, let's get this thing done. This is what he wants. Let's do this today. It went through, you know, the Haji wheel to a degree. Like, slowing down for me, like, as a, you know, type A visionary, want to get shit done yesterday type, has been the hardest transition with this, because I've realized that in order to have a long lasting organization that really does make a difference and makes impact, it's not all about doing stuff fast. And I also come from the corporate world where there was bureaucracy and there was just bullshit and there was just committee after committee after committee. That's not what we're talking about here. Like, there is bureaucracy and all that in the larger organizations. I get it. It's typically why we don't serve like super high level enterprise clients, because I don't want to go through like 20 committees in order to make a decision. The point is, it's like just having an idea and immediately implementing it might give you the short-term dopamine rush, but in the long term, it's going to fizzle out. And I can think of a dozen examples where we've done that in Tier 11's lifetime, and it hasn't worked out. And then we're back to square one again.
Mm-hmm. Think of it like a multi-speed bike. A lot of times we just think if we just pedal faster, we'll get there. Right. Everybody just push it to ride it to the red line.
Redline it.
As opposed to just shifting gears.
Yeah.
See, in like even the scenario from today, I just said it might take a month to get through this process, but that doesn't mean there wasn't immediate action.
Right.
Within 10 minutes of the conversation, there was already an email for somebody to put in motion a meeting in the context of the email was, hey, he may need time to prep for this. Let's look for 2 to 3 weeks from now so that he has time to build this presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So we built into the expectation that he may need to build this. If he's done in 3 days, great. We'll speed up the execution of the meeting. But we baked in understanding the journey of the process, we baked that into it. But within 10 minutes of the conversation we had, there was already immediate action.
Right.
And so it's not that this is slow. It's not that it's, you know, everything automatically takes a month or it's all that. It's being proactive and thinking through what does the journey look like? What are the steps and how can we get to the first step quick?
Mm.
In this particular case, it was give the gentleman time to put a presentation together, schedule a meeting with our leadership team, then decide next steps from there.
Mm-hmm.
The result is a potential partnership to sell to our customers.
Yep.
That's not the journey to get there. The journey to get there is going through the process of inculcating it into the business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the red line, is we go straight to the result. We think the car is going to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour. No, it's got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 100.
Yeah.
And often in times, the reason why the red line flops on our face is because we should have stopped at 20 miles an hour and realized we're in a school zone. And instead we blew through and at 60 miles an hour, we got stopped by the cop.
Right.
As opposed to what's the actual speed limit? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
So
it's not like in that particular case, and this could be a significant joint venture partnership. It could be a white label arrangement. It could even be somebody who could be a part of Tier 11.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're looking at this long term. There was an action taken, but the action wasn't, let's immediately start working together.
Right.
Let's vet it. Let's take it to the people that are going to be the ones that are actually going to execute, like our production team, our CS team, like all the you know, our leadership, the most appropriate leadership people, probably not the marketing department necessarily, but maybe, because maybe we could, like, you know, market this service. So I guess, you know, everyone included in that, HR, probably the same thing. It's taking an action, but not necessarily producing the end result without including everyone else in on it. And I think that's an important part too, is that I talk to a lot of these business owners at Driven. I'm like, well, what's your leadership team? It's like, you actually need to elevate people so that the business owner isn't doing everything, right? There was a point in time when I was doing all the media buying, all the creative, all the design, all this, like those days were like years ago. And I couldn't wait to get people in place that were better, smarter than me in those individual areas to run those departments. And some of those people eventually, you know, ascended to a leadership team. So for entrepreneurs that are out there, or business owners that are out there that don't have a leadership team or basically running it on their own, what would you say like that next step for them would be? What would be your advice?
You've got to have some level of leadership team. You don't have to have a head of marketing, head of sales, head of client sales, head of product.
Yeah.
At some point, yes, you hit a scale, you do need that. You just need a few key people that you have clear expectations with that you can delegate work to. I mean, even like right now, you and I aren't running Tier 11 at the moment.
No.
Because we have a leadership team that is executing and they know the plan. They know what needs to be done, and they're executing. I mean, the leadership team of Tier 11 runs the day-to-day of Tier 11.
100%.
Which has given you the opportunity to go work on Tier 11, like be at these masterminds, find future acquisitions, find partner opportunities. Most business owners are not doing that because they're too stuck in the day-to-day because they don't trust the leadership team or they don't have a leadership team.
Yeah.
Which goes back into that vision culture alignment. And again, you don't have to have highly expensive, overpaid, or this, that, and the other. It's just making sure those responsibilities and those functional areas are understood and measured and hold them accountable to it, but then delegate to it.
Mm.
And don't be afraid, well, if I delegate to them, then they won't get it done. Mm. That's an accountability problem.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people you have a false leadership team. People in leadership roles and you have a leadership meeting, but then at the end of the day, they ask the owner, okay, so what do you want to do? And the owner's having to make 100 decisions every single day because the leadership team is not actually empowered to make decisions because you take that power away by micromanaging, oversight, redlining, et cetera, et cetera.
So how do you do that? Like, how do you get to that point? And there's probably people that are listening to this show, watching the show here. Make sure that you do, get into our Telegram thread. We can converse about this because I know this is a business issue a lot of you are having. perpetualtraffic.com/telegram. How do you take that first step? Because I remember for me, like elevating people to a leadership team, I'm like, man, those people are expensive. That's going to hit the bottom line. And I thought to myself, well, I'd rather take a little bit less money, but also get back more time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a money and time exchange. And I said, okay, well, maybe we're not going to make 40% net margins anymore, but maybe we'll make 35%. But that 5% that I give away, I'll get back X amount of hours. So I started to formulate a leadership team. That's sort of how I thought about it in my mind. Is that the right methodology, or would you sort of recommend a different way of looking at things?
I think that's a way. I don't think there's a wrong way. I think the clear thing to do is just have clear expectations on accountability and measurables. This is where I'll go to an EOS tool called the accountability chart. Just Google EOS accountability chart and just implement that. You don't even have to do it perfect. But the key thing with the accountability chart is it forces you to say, what are the key roles for the individual and how are you going to measure it? Then sit down and have a conversation with the person and say, this is what I expect from you. It's okay to have expectations on a role, but you have to clearly communicate them and you have to explain why this role is important to the vision of the business.
Right.
So if you can articulate, what the vision of the business is, what we're trying to achieve and why you believe this role is important and what you expect from it. If the person says, I can do that, I almost guarantee if they're a good employee and they believe it, you'll see them take on more workload or more responsibility and take it off of you. Whereas if they go, well, that's impossible or this, that, your expectations got to be in line. If you expect them to do, 16 hats at once, okay, shame on you. And don't expect anybody to be you as the business owner. And I will say, just because you think you can do it all, I guarantee you, you're only doing 20% of it at best. So someone that is like really good at sales or really good at marketing, really good at CS, a lot of business owners will think they're good at all that. And really, they're only good at 20% of it.
Yeah.
And so, again, be realistic with your expectations. Another great tool is use ChatGPT along with the accountability chart stuff from EOS, and you'll get a pretty good, you'll get 70, 80% there. And just having conversation on that could alleviate 10% of your problems almost overnight. Simple, but fact.
So, I think that's an important step in this, sort of depending on where you are in your business journey or your entrepreneurial journey, or if you're running a company right now, is to have the leadership team be put in place to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then secondary to that, what I found is that at each level, at each stage, it just accelerated the growth.
you know, we didn't maybe, you know, make quite as much on like the bottom line because I was reinvesting it back in. But that's okay, because I realized that we were rebuilding at every stage. At a certain stage, though, you get to a point where the visionary, the CEO, can't do it all. And at what point do you look to hire like an integrator, or look to find chief of staff, COO, like a lot of those different names have been thrown out there? What's your sense?
You know, there's probably already one in the business, and it's really what you're looking for is you're looking for the person that can execute the vision. They're not the idea person. That's another fallacy. A lot of times they expect everybody on the leadership team to be the idea person as well. No, it's your job as the visionary to be the idea person. Everybody on the leadership team's role is to be able to take that vision and execute on it. You should have an integrator earlier on in the business. If you don't know what an integrator is, again, EOS integrator outlines it really well. Mm-hmm. If you're a visionary, you should probably read the book Rocket Fuel.
Yep.
It's a good one as well. But you need an integrator earlier on in the business. Now, unless you're like a one-man shop and you're outsourcing everything and you're in this, you know, controlled or franchised environment, you know, that's a different story. But the average small business, I mean, if you got 8, 10, 12 people, you need one.
Yeah.
And it can be one of the people that's already inside the organization. You don't have to go out and hire, you know, an expensive person like me to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're running, you know, organization, 40, 50 people plus, you're doing, you know, 5, 8, 10 million in revenue, you should really have at least a fractional integrator, if not a full-time integrator.
Yeah. So it's about at that stage. Does it matter if it's a software company, if it's a services company, if it's a, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You need someone to balance the visionary out. Visionary is going to be able to see, predict the market trends. They're going to see the feature sets that are needed, the products that need to be delivered, the partnership opportunities. They're going to see all that. The problem is they aren't good at executing it. And that's where that integrator comes in. That's the person that can take that, make it into logical steps and say, okay, this is what it's going to take to execute this. And here's what it, you know, the resources, the people, et cetera, you know, we already have it. We need to hire it, whatever it may be, but they'll give you the plan and execution for the visionary to say, okay, that's good. Or, no, it's not, or go faster, go slower, et cetera. But if without that, then it's just going to go straight to the result.
Yeah, like we said before, I think this is an important thing. I've said this to many CEOs, visionaries. There is somebody that exists out there whose job and love and passion is to execute on the things that are going on inside of your head. There is somebody that loves to do all the stuff that you can't stand doing. Like, never in a million years would I know how to use Jira, or like I did like SOPs way back when, but now like we have real SOPs. Like we have a real organizational chart. We have accountability. We have, you know, technology that's enhancing the productivity of our people. Like all of these things I want, but as a visionary, it's like, I don't know how to do any of that. And I think there's a lot of people. I lived in denial for probably about, I think the business from my standpoint, probably stagnated for about a year and a half or almost 2 years. Cause I was like, Rocket Fuel, I don't need an integrator. I can do it all. You know, that Rocket Fuel stuff, that's bullshit. Like, you know, Jobs and Wozniak, you know, Walt Disney and, you know, his brother, like that's great for them, but I can do it all on my own. What would you say to somebody like that who has that type of mindset?
Look at every great individual in history. There was always, always someone working behind the scenes to make it happen. Walt Disney is a perfect example. His brother was the one that actually made it all happen.
Yep.
If you look at, I mean, Steve Jobs and the number of people underneath him, I mean, even Elon Musk today, you know, people think he's running SpaceX.
Yeah, it's that woman. I forget. I always forget her name. Yeah.
I forget her full name, but yeah, she's
awesome.
She's the one actually running the day-to-day of SpaceX.
Yeah.
You know, he's the visionary pushing, you know, the new technology, the new things. But the reason why their cadence is what it is and stays on track is his leadership team executing.
Yeah. You imagine like Elon Musk being an integrator.
Oh, man.
Be a disaster.
No. No. No.
Just think about that right there.
No.
Like, if you haven't figured out that you need this person like that unto itself. Like you might not want to build the next SpaceX or the next Tesla, but the point is like try and think of Elon Musk putting together SOPs for, you know, building a rocket. It ain't going to happen. Like you just know, I mean, I read his book and everyone knows about him and sees him obviously in the press, but I think that's a good example of like, those are the types of people, yes, that shape the world and change the world for sure. But the ones who actually really shape the world and execute on the vision are the integrators. Well, the unsung heroes.
The ones that keep it, we keep the trains running all the time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the trains would be crashing into each other. They'd be late. They wouldn't show up. They'd be going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Because it was a cool idea.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's a cool idea. You know, I spent the last day or two with this a tremendous amount of bright people, like super sharp. And I think sometimes like that intellect and that enthusiasm sometimes gets in the way. And like you said, it's oftentimes it's the business owner itself. That's the impediment to the business moving to that next level of success. And the key is to find, you know, a guy or a gal, as a wise man once told me right after we turned down our third LOI. He's like, you need to find a guy. That's how we said it. And here we are today. You know, we'll keep tabs on what we're doing. Obviously, if you're a listener of Perpetual Traffic, you sort of know that we use Tier 11 as a proxy to explain to you a lot of these business concepts. Obviously, we're a marketing agency, so you're probably here for marketing tips, you know, digital marketing stuff as well. But the point is like all the marketing in the world isn't going to help grow a business unless you have a stable foundation. And this is what we're talking about here.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. So vision, journey, culture, results. We'll leave a picture of the Haji wheel in the show notes. We've got to. So it will we'll actually spell out the word inculcate for Josh. Just so you guys know, because it's probably the first time you've ever heard that word. It's the first time I had ever heard it when he said it to us. So anyway, as you can tell, we like to give our leadership team a lot of crap. So make sure that you do join our Telegram chat channel. I don't even know what it's called anymore. I'm just going to say it's Telegram thread, perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. We've got about 130 people in there right now. So we definitely want you to get involved. This is an outgrowth of those conversations. A lot of the folks that are in that group gave us feedback and said, hey, you know, talk about some generalized business concepts. This is one of the biggest things I think that we've done as a business that we really feel like we're coming out the other side right now to get to that next level of scale. And I want to make sure that you all sort of heard that part of the journey and make sure that you do join that thread. Of course, subscribe and leave a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. We always appreciate that. All you have to do is just give a little 4 or 5 star on Spotify, especially. That's all you got to do. You don't even need to leave a review. It's just like you just touch it and then off it goes. So make sure that you do check us out on our YouTube channel. That's perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. I'll leave a LinkedIn link for you as well. We didn't get to this. Let me just ask you this. Like if somebody is looking for, maybe we can leave a link on the show notes. Somebody is looking to hire an integrator, get an integrator. How would you actually recommend them going out and finding one?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Yeah.
I might have to think on that one. That maybe if you're that dire, maybe just find me on LinkedIn message and I can refer to people in the in my network.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's associations out there, there's groups out there. If you're looking to roll out EOS, you know, you can go to EOS and find an implementer that way.
That's true.
But I would say, yeah, there's. I'm gonna have to think on that one. I'll have to post an update.
Yeah, I'll leave a link in the show notes for a recruitment agency that we used. We ended up not using them, but they actually brought forth a lot of really good integrators and COOs. They weren't cheap by any stretch. These guys aren't cheap, but you know, you get what you pay for. And if you do want to get your business to that next level of scale, you got to think of it as an investment more than anything else. So we'll leave some links there that'll hopefully will help you folks out. Make sure that you do follow me over on LinkedIn, and we'll give Qasim a shout out because he's working downstairs at the Wicked Smart Session at Qasim Aslam on all the socials. And yeah, thanks for coming on Perpetual Traffic for your first time.
You could be on the first one.
Yeah. It only took 600 episodes gradually, or at least a year since we first known each other. So, yeah. So on behalf of Ryan Hodges, COO at Tier 11, and also my awesome co-host, Qasim Aslam, who's actually doing real work right now. Until next show, see ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic.